In this week's parasha, in Parashat Pekudei, the pasuk starts off, and the parak starts off with an accounting that Moshe Rabbeinu gives for all of the materials used for building the Mishkan. The pasuk counts the gold and silver and bronze that was collected, and then explains what they were used for. When it gets to the silver, the pasuk says that the money that was collected by taking a half a shekel from each person in Klal Yisrael was used for two purposes. 600,000 people donated enough for exactly 100 kikar of kesef. Kikar is a certain measure of silver. And that 100 kikar, which was collected, was used to pour the silver bases, which were placed on the bottom of each of the krashim, of the beams that made up the walls of the Mishkan. They were all together 100 silver bases, and each base was one kikar. That was what happened with that money. Besides that, some more money was collected, since there was really 603,550 people, not just 600,000. And that extra 3,550 people donated 1,775 shkolim of silver to the Mikdash, meaning a half a shekel for each of those people adds up to 1,775 shkolim. That money, the pasuk says, was used to make vavim, or hooks, for the amudim, for the pillars that surrounded the courtyard of the Mishkan. On those hooks, the curtains that enclosed the courtyard of the Mishkan were hung. There's a very interesting Midrash Tanchuma in this parasha that explains why giving an accounting for the silver. As Midrash says, the Midrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was accounting for the silver, he couldn't figure out what he did with that extra 1775 shekels. For some reason, he only remembered the 600,000 shekels we poured into bases for the pillars, but he didn't remember what he did with the extra 1775. Until Hashem put it in his mind to look up, and when he looked up, he saw the tops of the pillars of the courtyard, and he realized that there were hooks there hanging the curtains of the courtyard. And that's when the pasuk says, the Etzer Elef, Ushramias, Chamish Lishidim, and the 1775 shkolim he made into hooks for hanging the curtains around the courtyard. Says that he said that loudly, and in fact, when the Baal Koi reads it in Shul, he puts a special emphasis on this. The Etzer Elef, he raises his voice, as if to show that this was remembered later. This was an afterthought. The Midrash itself requires some explanation. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu forget about what he did with that silver? But I'm not going to go into that right now. I discussed that on Parsha page of Vayakel 57-56. And now I want to bring out another point, which is that this Midrash might explain to us an interesting point that Tosfos brings down in Megillah. In the Gemara in Megillah, we find that when Haman paid 10,000 shekels of kesef, 10,000 kikros of kesef to Achashverosh, in order to gain authority to wipe out Jews from the kingdom, right? The Gemara says that in the end, he realized that all his efforts were for naught, and that instead the Bnei Yisrael were able to overcome his plottings. Tosfos says that the Gemara goes on and says that the shkolim we give in the beginning of Adar were able to overcome the shkolim that Haman gave in order to kill the Bnei Yisrael. Tosfos over there mentions that when Haman gave his 10,000 kikars of kesef, his intention was to overpower the 100 kikars of kesef that the Bnei Yisrael gave when they were in the Midbar. How exactly the 10,000 kikars of kesef corresponds to the 100 kikars that the Bnei Yisrael gave is not exactly clear in Tosfos. It's discussed by numerous Rishonim, Venubache in the beginning of Pekude offers a number of approaches, as well as many others, and I discussed this in another Parsha page. I won't go into this now, but what we do see is that the 10,000 kikars were in order to overcome the money that was given for the 600,000 Jews in the Midbar. Well, if that was his intention, why, indeed, did he not succeed? How did we overcome him? If Haman somehow saw that his giving of such money would be able to cancel out what the Jews gave, then where did he fail? Where did his calculation go wrong? The answer might be that he forgot the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot, that there's another 1775 shkolim. It's true that he gave enough money to correspond to the 600,000 Jews who gave money of a half a shekel to the Mishkan, but he didn't give enough money to correspond to the extra 3550 Jews who gave 1775 shkolim. And those shkolim remained with nothing to cancel them. Those shkolim perhaps provided the necessary merit in order to overcome Haman's plotting. And if what we are saying is true, right, this will explain another Gemara in Bechorot, where we find that Kuntrikon, the officer, the Roman officer, had a debate with the Jews where he claimed that Moshe Rabbeinu miscalculated or stole from the money that he collected for the Mishkan. And in the debate, it becomes clear that he is also not taking into consideration the 1775 shkolim. He's claiming that Moshe Rabbeinu misused those shkolim also. Rashi and Tosfos discuss this in Bechorot 5a. Why didn't he take that into account when the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu did use it for the Mishkan? Why did he make believe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't use it? The answer might be that he too held that Moshe Rabbeinu was misusing the money by using it for the Bavim, and that he chose to ignore that money for the same reason that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot it, which is that he didn't realize how that money was going to be spent, as I explained in the Parsha page more clearly. In any case, what we see is that the Bavim were the hooks that are made for the Amudim are what allowed Bnei Yisrael to overcome Haman. This will explain what we find in the end of the first verse of Megillah. The Gemara tells us that when writing the names of the sons of Haman who are hung, you're supposed to write an especially long vav for the name Vaizasa. And this is to give a graphic representation of the pole upon which Haman and his children were hung. All of them were hung, were hanged on the same pole. And it could be that pole was in the shape of a vav, which is why we stretch out that vav of Vaizasa, in order to let us and Haman know that it was those vavim that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot, and that he forgot, that brought about his downfall. It was the vavs, the extra money that was given to provide the vavs, the hooks, for the curtains, that brought about his downfall. And if so, the vav that we made were really a vav hamahatach, vav ahipuch, which is an expression used to refer to the vav at the beginning of a word, which can change a word from the past tense to the future, or from the future to the past. This is the vav's quality. The vav was able to bring about the nahapohu. How exactly was this done? How did the vav specifically bring about Haman's downfall? Perhaps we may suggest the following. We find that the letter Vav is written as a straight line up and down, not leaning to either side. The Maral, in numerous places, explains that this is because Vav is Meramez, it alludes to truth. Truth is straight. The Vav also implies an attachment, a binding force, which binds what is above to what is below. Again, it is a straight line from up, from the top, till the bottom. That's another term by which Vav is described, is Vav HaChibur. The Vav in the beginning of a word denotes attachment, binding, and that is also something that the Vav alludes to. It alludes to truth and to binding top to bottom. And of course that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael, to the Jews below. Those are the Vavim that were on the top of the Amudim, as if to say that Hashem is above and is connected to Bnei Yisrael below. And this is true even in times when we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting to note that the Medrash, which says Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the Vavim, gives the reason for it. It says Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the Vavim because they were covered. Meaning, the Adanim on the bottom of the base of the Mishkan were open in clear view. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw that and remembered it. And the hooks on the top were covered and were not apparent, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu forgot it. There are times when Hashem's connection to Bnei Yisrael is clear, it's on bottom. It's a strong connection and visible to all, such as in the times when there's a Beit HaMikdash and Bnei Yisrael are in the land. And then there are times when we're in Golos and Hashem's connection, Hashem's attachment to Bnei Yisrael is not clearly visible. And that's what the hooks, which held the Yerios on the very perimeter of the courtyard of the Mishkan on the outside, are alluding to. In those times also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to Bnei Yisrael. And that's the Vav. Like we said, Vav is Emes. And this is the connection between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. What is this Emes? The Vav, the word Emes has three letters, Aleph, Mem, Tav. The first letter of Aleph Beis, the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet of the Aleph Beis. Meaning that the Emes, truth, comes out from the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis with which the Torah was written. The Gemara describes the Aleph Beis in such terms in numerous places, the Sanhedrin Kuf Beis and other places, that the 22 letters of the alphabet are the letters with which the Torah was given. And the Torah is Emes. The word Emes is represented by Aleph, Mem, Tav, because it is what comes out of the letters of the Aleph Beis with which the Torah was written. The Torah is Emes, and the word Emes denotes that the 22 letters with which the Torah was written are what brings out the truth. Vav, interestingly, is the gematria 22 when it's spelled Vav, Yud, Vav. It's spelled out. Its numerical value is 22. And the Vav, that was a hook for the curtains of the Mishkan, was representing the Torah that connects Bnei Yisrael to Hashem, and that was the force with which the Bnei Yisrael were able to conquer Haman. This is what the Vavim did. And it's interesting to note that the Chazal say in Sanhedrin that we learn out from these Vavs, these very hooks of the Mishkan, that Hashem never changed the script of the letters of the alphabet. The way they were given to us is the same way that we write them today. Although we know that there's another script called the Ivrit, as opposed to Asherit, for writing the letters, Hashem originally gave the present script to Bnei Yisrael on Har Sinai along with the letters, even if it was changed in the middle. And this is learned out from the fact that the word Vav is used to describe a hook which is in the shape of a Vav. So here again we see that these Vavim are representing all the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. They're showing the authenticity and the truth of all the 22 letters. And even more interesting, how many shkalim were used to make these Vavim? 1,775. That number happens to be the exact sum of the gematria of each and every letter of the Aleph Beis when added together. Meaning that each letter represents a number, according to Chazal, where Aleph is 1, Beis is 2, etc., Chaf is 20, Lamed is 30, etc., Kuf is 100. If you add together every one of those letters, every one of those numbers, the total will be exactly 1,775. That is the amount of silver that went into the Vavim, because that was the amount, because the Vavim represented the Aleph Beis and the 22 letters with which the Torah was given, which binds Bnei Yisrael to Hashem. Thank you very much. I'm now giving over the mic to Rabbi Zupnik for the Ian share on Moshe B'Mikdash.